Let's see, what is that, 10th book or letter in the New Testament? Galatians is 9. Ephesians. We're up to 15 as new territory. Keep going down through this verse by verse. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. And if there's some things we can learn to draw closer to thee, I pray that that would happen. If there's some things any of us need to correct, help us do that. And if it's just some things that get us a blessing and draw us closer to thee, I pray you do that. You are the author. We are the students. And I just pray you'd help us to be good students. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember that this city in the past, in Acts 18, 19, and 20, when Paul went there, and it was quite an uproar. They worshipped the goddess Diana. Okay, Diana is the short part of Indiana, in Diana. So in America, you have like Christianity and paganism side by side. And so Diana was a unisex god that they worshipped. Okay, and that's kind of the spirit behind the transgender movement. This is all part of the devil deceiving people, because fornication is a tangled web that gets people trapped up in it. And so here one guy, Paul, comes into town, and all these people get mad, and they have like a Roman theater, or have some type of a theater there, and people are in there yelling and screaming and all that stuff, probably doing the wave, you know. And for 2 hours they yelled and screamed because of one or two people. And then while they're yelling and screaming, one guy looks over another guy and says, "What are we here for? What are we doing?" You know, and so, yeah, that's how people are. So we got six chapters here in Ephesians, and then John wrote seven verses to this church of Ephesus. So they get the prize for two letters in the scriptures. Now, verse 15, if you follow the punctuation, the sentence starts at 15. It starts with wherefore, and the period is at the end of 23. So this runs quite a distance, and it's a general outline of a prayer. Well, there are two of them in Ephesians. This one, and if you hold your finger here, go chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Again, that one is one sentence, 14 to 19. And that is also a prayer. You can see Paul says he bow my knees unto the Father. So very simplistically, the first prayer is a prayer to learn the scriptures. The second prayer is to live the scriptures. So that's the basic two prayers, okay, where a lot of people don't realize that the what's called the famous Lord's Prayer, that is often repeated in a monotone fashion, which is a form of hypnotism, is a Jewish prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer, because in there the person is praying for forgiveness. Why would the Lord have to do that? So it's a national Jewish prayer is what it is. If you want to see the Lord's Prayer, go to John 17. And it's a wonderful idea where he says he's praying for those who believe in him. So it's almost like if somebody wrote you a little note and said, "I'm praying for you." Big encouragement. You know, unless they're praying against you. But big encouragement. And but then the Lord wrote that little note, John 17, to everyone who believes in him, that he's praying for him. So back in Ephesians 1:15, and it's got wherefore. Now, the thing I'm amazed about the Bible is the precision of it. Wherefore, therefore, You would think they're the same, but there's a unique difference. And the way you kind of remember them, there's a statement made or an idea made, and then you say, therefore. So being what this was said, then the therefore is, then here we have something else. Now the wherefore, because it's a W, okay, where the T, it's just stating a fact or drawing a conclusion. But the W is the reason why the statement was made. So you remember the W, wherefore, is an answer to why. And therefore is this is that. And so that's how precise it is as far as this. So Paul is verse 12, 13 and 14. He's dealing with the salvation of an individual. Okay, how simple it is to be saved. And after one is saved, wherefore, verse 15, wherefore I also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So it kind of throws a P.S. there. Okay, after he heard, what did he do? He ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of my prayers. Okay, so that's what he does. And that's what a person should do when you hear of somebody who's newly saved. Start praying for them. Because there's a wolf that's going to want to come in and destroy this little lamb. Destroy them, meaning their life, but they can't take their soul. That's the idea there. But what's interesting, after he says that, I heard of your faith and love. And that's the thing about getting born again, is you begin to love things you used to hate, and you hate things you used to love. So you have a change in there, and it's a conscience thing. Okay, and so he's got that in verse 15. Then he says, cease not to give thanks. Okay, and here's the prayer. Now at 17, you have the word that. And then 18, after the first phrase, that. So those would be the two-part outline of this prayer. In the Ephesians 3, in the 3, I think it has four that's. So in that's often how a legal document is written, where they'll make a statement, then they'll say that, and then that, and then that, all the way down through there, and it's each point coming through there. So here's what he's praying. Okay, after a person is born again, free gift of salvation, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just like the first birth. Mama did all the work on the first birth. Gave life to a baby. Jesus Christ does all the work on the second birth, gives eternal life to the baby. Okay, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may, notice he doesn't say will, may, like in the song we read, we should not be discouraged. But we do get discouraged, don't we? So then he says, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, the spirit of wisdom. So in Proverbs, the big three, you have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is knowing what. Wisdom is knowing how. Understanding is knowing why. Okay, knowledge is knowing as far as flying an airplane. Wisdom, you know, you're studying to fly an airplane. Wisdom is flying the airplane. Understanding is going a further study and knowing what causes aerodynamics and how the wind is compressed and how lift is created and all that stuff. And so you get more understanding of the airplane that way. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Here, it's wisdom and revelation. Revelation is a revealing. Okay, what amazes me is how truth is right in front of people. Is hidden in plain sight. Both God and the devil do that. Now the devil will hide truth for evil in plain sight, and then God will have truth, but yet It depends upon the heart of the person to be able to pull it and get it. And that's a revelation. Now, the last book in the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that seems kind of strange because you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you got the four Gospels. You would think, well, that's revealing Jesus Christ. It is, but it's revealing him at his first coming. It's revealing him as a sacrificial Savior. Okay, in four viewpoints, king, man, servant, man, and God. But then if a person rejects that offer by Jesus Christ, then they're going to see the fifth one, the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he is portrayed as the judge of the universe. So that's why in chapter 1, when you see his description, we have hair white like wool. Because in America, Australia, England, customs in the courtrooms, they put that rug on their head like they're stupid, and then they put the rug on their head, now they're brilliant. You know, it's supposed to be natural. Now, the lady who cuts my hair, you know, for years I would say it's blonde, but she tells me it's not blonde anymore. And so I think she's colorblind. And so, so that's why they do that. And if you ever go to America, you don't see them doing that in the courts anymore. But in Europe, in Australia, they do. In Europe, they do. In Australia, it's you almost want to laugh at the guy. What you putting that on your head for? What'd you do? Get that a roadkill possum on the side of the road or something? But that's just a custom, okay? And so in Revelation 1, it says Jesus' hair is white like wool. Now, I had a black guy tell me, he said, oh, that's a, see, Jesus is black. I said, it didn't say woolly hair. It said hair white like wool. And so, yeah, that's a whole nother idea. And then, oh, you think he's white? No, I don't think he's white. He's an Oriental. You know, so we both are missing out. Sorry. But the beautiful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, saves all. He has no respect of persons. It runs the whole gamut, even for us mutts. I mean, come on. Who's a purebred? You know, AKC registered and all that stuff. You know, when I tell my mom about being Dutch, she says, now you got a little French in you. And surprisingly, Shane did a back study, and it goes back to French royalty. So, you know, I'm pretty king on my head, all that stuff. You too? Yeah. You got a little French?
Yes.
Yeah, you got a lot of Dutch.
I got a little French, too.
You got a little French?
Montel. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Most have escaped out before the head started.
What's that?
Most have escaped the country after the head started.
Yeah, we got out of there. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Okay, so Ephesians 1, 17. Okay, the revelation. Now, Paul had a little advantage. He's a writer of Romans, 1 2 Corinthians, Galatians, so forth. If you go to Galatians 1... He had a revelation of Jesus Christ, obviously at the moment of his salvation, but he also met with the Lord down at Mount Sinai and was tutored by Jesus for, you know, about 3 years down there. So that'd be Galatians 1, where he says in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so where is he at? Verse 17, he went into Arabia, Saudi Arabia. So it's a very unique, that's where Moses received the religious rites or R-I-T-E-S for Judaism, and then that's where Paul received the doctrines for Christianity. So he got it directly from him, where the teacher for us that's available is the Holy Ghost. Because when the Lord left, before he left, he introduced to the apostles in John 14, 15, 16 about the Holy Ghost. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will guide us in all truth. So that's who we can pray to when we open up our Bible to read it. Pray to the author that you get something out of it. So that's what he's saying in verse 17, that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, knowing of him, Jesus Christ, knowing him. Not religion, not denomination. If you get talking to people about spiritual things, they'll always shift it to religion, and you bring it back to Jesus Christ, and then you'll shift it back to religion, and you bring it back to Jesus Christ. And so that's the one, that's the cuss word that people use. They don't say Muhammad this blankety blank. They'll say Jesus Christ. And when people use it as a cuss word around you, take it for an advantage. Use it as an advantage. I was in a shoe store. This lady walked by me and goes, Jesus Christ. And I said, he's a good savior. And she goes, yeah, that's the way you get them. Instead of getting mad, that's blasphemy. You know, oh, yeah, yeah. And so, no, just to use it for, I didn't know you was a Christian. I didn't know that. You know, play dumb, play innocent. So you got that. Then verse 18, and I believe this is one of the greatest prayers a person can pray for another. And this would be an extension of the spirit of revelation, is the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Opened eyes. Okay, hold your finger here if you would go to Acts 26, 18. David, the great psalmist, in Psalm, I think, 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Acts 26, 18. Salvation, justification, when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's an eye-opening ministry, you'll see things differently. And if you're listening, you will hear things differently. Acts 26, this is Paul's testimony. So in verse 14, he heard from heaven. He heard the words, the people with him heard thunder. And he heard, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul. So there's seven times in the Bible where a person's name is said twice. Okay, like, you know, six were men, one was Martha. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That'd be the pricks of his conscience. Now, you would have thought at that point, this guy was a murderer, and he was a religious zealot, and he was a persecutor. You would have thought, you know, God in heaven said, repent! And all he said, how's your conscience, Saul? You've seen people die graciously. How's that working for you? And that was all that it took. Now, what is verse 14? What is that called? The verbally inspired originals? Hebrew? And it was recorded in, what are we told? It was recorded in Greek. So it goes from Hebrew to Greek. That's an inspired translation, so a translation can be inspired. So ain't that something? Well, that's Paul's testimony. And then verse 18, it kind of gives a fivefold aspect of his calling, I guess you could say. The first one is to open their eyes. Eye-opening ministry. Then the second one is turn them from darkness to light. It depends how far down the path of darkness they traveled. And the further they travel, and from the power of Satan unto God, where they are bound, held captive by Satan. Okay? That they may receive forgiveness of sins. We call that justification. Comma, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So a person who is justified or born again is promised to be glorified, but there's an inheritance that can be earned, and that's to the ones who are sanctified. See, I was raised in a farm. That sounds good to me. At this time, Dad would be on the back porch watching it rain. The lightning comes, stick. We'd just sit out there. We'd see dollar signs falling from the sky. So, yeah, that's a fivefold aspect, okay, to open their eyes. And to me, the sad part is the second and third step is so few churches, so few preachers even know anything about spiritual warfare. How to help somebody pull the hook out that the devil's got in them.
Right.
And they don't even touch on it. And it's very sad. Okay, now, folks who believe that in born again and again and again, or eternal insecurity, or Jesus gave probationary life, they teach that, we teach that people can live the way they want and get away with it. There's no truth in that at all. There's a forfeit of an inheritance. And so the person in the Bible who pictures a raunchy Christian would be Mr. Lot. Now, he was before the law, but Mr. Lot was a bad cat. But he was saved. It's an amazing thing. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened eyes. Now, understanding is, I believe, the proper definition for inspiration. I think anytime you read any statement of faith, they'll mention the scriptures, they'll mention inspiration. They always put 2 Timothy 3:16. They never put 15. And then they do this Greeky thing and they say, it means God breathed, you know. And that's not what inspiration means. If you go to the first time inspiration takes place in the Bible, it's only found two times, so it's very easy to define, but they don't define it. Job 32:8, we have a definition. And this will explain why inspiration is written in the present tense, not past tense. If the definition is used by the scholars, it has to be in past tense when they limit it to the originals. But in the Bible, it's present tense. Job 32:8. This is the first occurrence. And it says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, okay, if you look at the word inspiration, the third letter, S-P-I-R, third through six, that's the short part of spirit. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. What does it mean when all scripture is given by inspiration? That means that when you understand it now, you just received inspiration. Amen. Right at that moment. And that's the purpose of our time right now. If you go to Nehemiah 8, verse 8. Nehemiah 8 is the Bible pattern for public service. And it's page 777 in a good reference Bible. Triple sevens. I got some of those numbers on the reference Bible that, no way I could plan that, but it just happened to land on that. 666 has chapter 13 landing on it. So chapter 8, Nehemiah 8. 8 is a number for new beginnings. 8 is a big number in China. They're superstitious stuff, but 8 is a number for new beginnings. And the first 8 verses, it gives a kind of a pattern or a model for a public service. And in verse 1, you see that somebody has a book. So Ezra the scribe brings a book. Okay, and then they have in there all that could hear with understanding. Verse 3, they read it. Verse 3, at the end of the book, they're attentive. Verse 4, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Now, we call this a pulpit. And so what that's called, that to them is a pulpit. We call a platform or stage. So he's standing up. Okay, then verse 5, he opens a book. Verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord. People said, amen. Is that amen? Okay, and then verse 7, he has other people helping cause the people to understand the law. Verse 8 is a three-point outline. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly, point number one, and gave the sense, point number two, and caused them to understand the reading, inspiration. How do you know if it's done right? In the middle part, it says it made sense. If it makes sense, seek no other sense. Common sense. And that's why all scripture is given, because it's present tense. And if you take is given, you'll find in Ephesians it says grace is given. In 1 Corinthians, the Spirit of God is given. That's all present tense. So these fellows are really missing the boat when they take that word and throw it back hundreds of years, and they're missing out on understanding today. Okay, and when it makes sense, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, I got that. And that's the Spirit opening up our hearts. In Luke 24, that's what Jesus did to those two men. They were walking. He said they opened up their understanding. And but you see, in order for Jesus and the Spirit of God or the Spirit of God to do that for a person, they read the heart, the intents of the heart. And if a person is trying to justify themselves, they'll let them do it. If a person is saying, man, I want to know the truth and I will change what I believe if I discover that I am wrong, then the Lord says, okay, I can work with that. And then he starts working with that. So that's in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Enlightened. You see, everywhere you go, there's truth is hidden in plain sight. Now, for the Lord, if you look at the creation and you understand the creation, you understand a little more about the Creator. So when you walk in the woods, you understand a little bit more. If you see the sun, the moon, the stars, my daddy used to, we had a garage that was about 200 feet from the house. And on Sunday night, we'd come home from the Dutch Corner Church and I'd be riding in the, you know, them old Chevys, you got the back seat. We didn't have seat belts. We didn't have car seats. But you had the back little lip on the back windshield. I would lay back there. I could lay without even, you know, I'm back there. Had my red pig with me. And he had a hard plastic face. That was my equalizer. Hard plastic nose. If my brother, I'd whap him right on the head with it. It worked beautifully. And then I got thrown out of the car one time. And I accused my brother of throwing it out. But my daddy would say, look at them stars. Look at them stars. He just built that in me. I mean, I don't know how many times we'd look at them stars. And you think about the Creator. Okay, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And then that, okay, there's the second that. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. Now there's a certain calling maybe each of us have, a purpose in life. And when you discover your purpose in life, it will give life meaning. Okay, now the general purpose, all of us are here, Revelation 4:11, is to give praise to God. But then there's also like individual things that he might direct you, maybe your occupation or whatnot, that becomes a purpose. And when you have that purpose, then the Lord will direct you down that path. I think a young man, you know, 18 to whenever he discovers a purpose, learn all you can to work with your hands. You know, mechanics, electrical work, plumbing work, anything you can do to work with your hand, that's all practical stuff. That can stuff you, take you for years. Okay, and learn as much as you can. Then when God points out that purpose, you know, I didn't know my purpose in life until I was about 24, 25. And anybody that studies boys and girls, 25 is about the time the boy's brain starts turning on. Really, that's what the one's saying. It's 25 when it starts turning on. And might be something with that or to that. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And when you get this calling or this purpose, it gives hope. It gives value to life. And when people aren't just existing. And it says, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So there is an inheritance to be earned. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? See, that's the switch. Believe. And not only is it the switch for justification, it is also the same for sanctification. According to the working of his mighty power. Okay, if God can change a life like Bill Sneblin, I don't think anybody in here has gone that bad. I mean, Bill Sneblin, that guy. And I haven't had him here for a while, but you talk about that guy. I mean, raised Catholic, became a witch, became a Satanist, did this, did that, became a vampire, did then, became a Mormon, did this, all that stuff. Thinking that he's looking for God. Then a witch gave him chick tracks, one of the chick magazines, about how rock stars pray to the devil to get their music powerful. And a witch said to him, hey, read this, you'll get a hoot out of that. And he read it and he got saved. And man, he knows about spiritual warfare, all that stuff. I mean, if the Lord can change a guy like that, that's a fascinating thing. And so according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that rose the Lord from the dead is the same power that will help us walk a newness of life. You say, I can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. None of us can do it. What do? You believe what he said. He said, Lord, I don't understand it, but I believe it. And then see what he does. And then set him, Jesus, at his own right hand in heavenly places. So right hand, so there's a common saying. If you hear it at work, he's my right hand man. That's my right hand man. Well, boss, I didn't know you were a Christian. What do you mean? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Didn't you know that's in the Bible? Well, I guess we just don't see the eye to eye. Well, that's in the Bible too. You find that in Isaiah. And just keep throwing this at him. Get him to think about it. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality. So the principalities, you can see the word principle. That'd be the spirit beings. And power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the devil is a prince of the power of the air. And the Lord's above that. Not far as we think it is. And hath put all things under his feet. So in Job, he says he walketh in the circuit of heaven. Job 22. Put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. The church, which is his body. It's obviously a spiritual thing. Spiritual body. The church is his body. And then 1 Corinthians 12 goes in detail on that. And then the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you can see it's all magnifying the Lord Jesus and so magnifying his great power. And that great power is available. It's a matter of verse 19, about two-thirds into it, believe. Just believe the words. You say, I don't understand it. Oh, there's some things you're not going to understand in Scripture. Do you understand how a cell phone works? I got a smartphone, but it's a dumb person running it. So, yeah, we don't understand all those things. And a lot of things like that in the Bible. Okay, so that's into chapter 1. Any questions or comments we covered? Jace. Oh, that's pretty good. Say that again.
Inspiration of God.
That's another way to pronounce it. Oh, did she? Okay. Good. That's a good. Okay. Prayer.